Hallelujah. was created for your glory, and I was created for your purpose, and I was created for your pleasure. Have your way. Sing, I was created.
I was created for your glory. I was created.
and praise when no one else is around. Oh, the worshiper in me wants to break free from the intellectual mentality. Like when I show me up, I'm seated in my seat. I should be lifting my hands, giving you praise.
us come into this house to worship Christ, our Lord. Amen. That's why we've come. And thank God for David that said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Boy, they sung that song, didn't they? Amen. I heard echo effects. We thank God for our young adults. I'm serious. We thank God for them. Amen. And we just want to continue to let all of our young people know we love them. We love them. We love them. We love them. And guess what, y'all? We can't tell them that enough. We can't tell them that enough. This being Youth Month, amen, we can't tell them how much they're loved. Amen. And not just telling them, but even demonstrating love in their lives. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to the book of Numbers in the 13th chapter. The book of Numbers and the 13th chapter. Amen. Thank God for everybody in the building. Amen. And I thank God for our mothers, all of them that are here today. Amen. We thank God for them. And all I'm not going to call their name, but they know who they are. Amen. And y'all know, man, look, we are blessed. We have some mothers that are, you know, they don't consider themselves mothers. Amen. But when I found out how old this one person was, all I could say was, Jesus. And listen, and this person still gets out and cuts her yard with a lawnmower and gets head trimmers and cuts the bushes and everything. Amen. Y'all know they don't make people up this way like that anymore. Amen. That's down south. Amen. And I'm not going to call this person's name. Amen. But 78 years young. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. She knows who she is, and we thank God for her. Amen. My neighbor. Amen. Brother Abraham. I'm not going to call his age either. And Deacon Wright and just different ones. They seem like the old, they're just strong even in their old age. Amen. They continue to prosper. And these are one of the things we're going to look at today in God's Word. How God will prosper you even the older you get. And I used to hear Dr. Charles Stanley say, more people, when they accomplish great things in their lives, they do it above 70 years of age. Amen. And so we thank God for all of our mothers, all of our seniors, and all of our older saints. Amen. We just thank God for them, along with our children. Amen. Brother Leo, I ain't going to get started on him. It's like, what in the world? What are they made of? Amen. But God is good, and Deacon Manning, and so many that just, God just keeps on blessing. He keeps on making a way. He keeps on doing great things. And if nobody get up and jump up and shout but me and Brother Willie, it's all right. It's all right. Because we know where God has brought us from. To keep us from danger seen and unseen. He's a keeper. Amen. And he's the very lover of our souls. Amen. Psalm says, all of my help, well, the Bible says, comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I'm telling you, when you look back over your life and you see God, and he's continued to bless. Amen. Bible, let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. And we will begin in your hearing at the 26th verse. Amen. The 6th verse is where we want to begin. And it says, and when they went and came to Moses and Aaron, and to call all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all of the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, they told them, and they said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south of the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they brought up an evil report. This is what they did. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched. And the children of Israel said, the land, though we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Therefore, and all the people that we see in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and were in our own sight. We were in their sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. And then chapter 14 says, and all the congregation lifted up their voices, and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God that we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore had the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by sword, that our wives and our children should become prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and of the children of Israel. And then, so first, Caleb stilled the people. Now Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. Amen? And then I'm going to add to verse 38. Verse 38 says this, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went search the land. Guess what, y'all? They still live. Everybody else died in the wilderness, but Caleb and Joshua, they still live. Amen. Now I know it seems like a lot of reading, but I got another verse that I'm going to add, and that's Deuteronomy 7:7. And it says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, and had the Lord bought you out with a mighty stretched hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman, from the land of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is good, the faithful God, which keepeth the covenant, and mercy with them that love him. We're going to get back there. That keep his commandments to the thousands of generations. Amen. And we're continuing part two from last week. You shall know the truth. Amen. And that's not the title, today. But the title today is Continuing in God's Word.
Amen.
Continuing in God's Word. And if I had a subtitle, it would be God Has Set His Love Upon You.
Amen.
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 God has set His love upon you. Amen. He set His, everybody in here, every child, every man, woman, girl, and boy, God has set His love upon you.
Amen.
Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank You. We bless and praise You. We extol You, O God. We enlarge You. From the ends of the earth, O God, we cry unto You to bless Your name, to let You know You are God beside and beside You. There is none other. Oh God, we're continuing to be amazed and baffled by Your love. And we pray right now, we come against the hand of the enemy. Oh God, the lies that he tells us to be accepted by this world, even in our children. We break the mold of the culture, the curse of the culture. We stand against it right now in the name of Jesus. And we speak the love of Christ, oh God, to our children. We emulate and demonstrate that love of Jesus Christ. Oh God, may You continue to consume us and overwhelm us to know that You commended Your love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. You didn't wait for us to get it together. But while we were in our state of darkness, You loved us and You died us. That's unconditional love. And we thank You for it. Have Your way in this place. Crucify my very flesh that I won't speak of me. Help me not to go on tangents, oh God, but help me to stick to the scripture. Oh God, the living word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We just thank God for who He is. To know that He is God. And besides Him, there is none other. We thank God for even last week, we were dealing with, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, right? That's John 8, 30, 31. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. And that freedom that Paul is talking about, that freedom that Jesus, we're going to talk about Paul too, but the freedom that Jesus Christ is talking about is not just a physical freedom or physical release, but it's a spiritual freedom.
Amen.
That we have in Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual release, amen, that we have when we continue in His word. And this month, the theme is be transformed, right? Where that came from is Romans 12, 2, that it says, be not conformed to this world. And that word conform in the Greek means be not molded. Be not molded. Be not shaped.
Amen.
By this world. Y'all know how we bake the cake? We take the cake, we take the batter, right? And we put the batter in a cake pan. And we take the cake, we put the cake in the oven. And that cake is hard, right? That cake is shaped. That cake is formed in that oven. Then when the cake is done, you take the cake out, right? You get a bowl or a pan, and you take the cake and you put it on the pan. And sometimes you gotta hit it. Sometimes you gotta shake it. Sometimes you gotta get a little scoop cake out. Right? Especially banana bread. My wife makes some banana bread. Or whatever kind of cake it is, you have to get it out of there. And if you do it right, you spray some stickum or non-stick. Spray some non-stick. Right? You gotta spray the can, right? The pan? With non-stick. Or pan or spray butter or something to help get the cake out. And then that cake is molded by the shape of the pain. Amen? And so when we talk about be not transformed, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, the mold of many of people. We're not just going to talk. This message is not just for the youth, but it's for everybody in here. Amen. That we break the mold of what we were shaped, or what's been shaped in us, or where we grew up, or what could be just the world, the culture, the internet, things we've been through. Yes. Amen. Things that have molded and shaped us. But that mold has to be broken. And that mold has to be broken by the word of God.
Amen.
Some people seem to think that once I got saved, right, that the mold of the world was broken. But what we need to know is that the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. So when Jesus Christ said, if you continue in my word, even after salvation, even after you first believe, it's the continuing in the word of God.
Amen.
That will break the mold.
Amen.
That you will be reshaped from the things and the lies of Satan to be shaped, formed, and fashioned into the image of Jesus Christ. So when we left off last week, we talked about the condition of the word, if you continue in my word. If you continue in my word, that's the condition that we make. And I'm telling you, and we talked about the spirit of religion and how the spirit of religion can be a big old cover-up. Because you feel good, you shout, you do things in the church, but when you go out these four walls, you're still living defeated lives. No, you're still living lives in bondage.
Amen.
And guess what? Yes, you can be saved on your way to heaven, but still walk in defeat.
Right.
Still walk in bondage.
Right.
Still walk in depression.
Right.
You wonder why there's no joy.
Right.
You wonder why there's no love.
Right.
You wonder why there's no satisfaction. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're not broken to the word of God. Amen. So when it says, if you continue in my word on that condition, then you are my disciples indeed, and then you shall know the truth. And it's the filtering of the love of Jesus Christ that sanctifies my mind. Old roots, old habits, old patterns, old ways of thinking, old mindsets, the spirit of being unloved, the spirit of rejection, growing up, or the spirit of insecurity, or the spirit of fear, the spirit of not being accepted. Amen? These are all things, and that old mindset of sensuality. And alcoholism. And habits. And different things. Those things have to be shaped out. And it's only the word of God that can shape it out. And listen, and we want to talk about spiritual bondage. People are spiritually, and guess what? And Pastor John DeMarco was here, spoke to our man. He says, we keep preaching the word, right? Talking about two men and two women, and just, not just that, but just, listen, we give the whole line of sin. We don't just pick on, amen, alternative lifestyles. But sin is sin. Amen. And sin is sin. And we're going to stand on it. We're going to preach on it. We're going to tell you. Because we love you enough to tell you. But Pastor DeMarco said, he said, your pastor's going to end up in jail. Amen. Because it's a message that the world does not want to hear or want to accept. And last week in John chapter 8, you seen how if Jesus was a lunatic, they wouldn't have got upset. But they got so upset and so enraged. And even now, the preaching of the gospel, Paul said, I came not unto you, amen, for anything else, but the preaching of the gospel Amen. In the book of First Corinthians. Amen. It's the preaching of the gospel that transforms life. And it's his love that sets our hearts ablaze. So when we see here in our text, right, that the mindset of being spiritually bound, and even how we can go out on the street on Tuesdays and see people seriously, and the Lord just broke my heart to the spirit of alcohol and how you can talk to somebody. Usually we invite brothers or women over for prayer. And people that I knew or grew up with or just seen in the community, and how you see them now, and it's like that alcohol has damaged their liver so much that and the Lord just showed me so plain, man, the spirit of alcoholism, and they're shriveled up, and then they'll say, man, I can quit whenever I get ready. Amen. And you say, well, why don't you quit? Because I ain't ready yet. Amen. But guess what? Even the delusion that comes along with these strongholds, that you still think you like 25, and you still see yourself as a young man, but the spirit of alcohol now in your 50s and your 60s has shriveled up your liver so much that you look a lot older than what you really are. And it's a spirit of delusion. And I just picked on alcohol. Amen. But there's so many other things. And the spirit of delusion comes right in on it. That you see yourself as okay. You see yourself as okay. You don't see yourself as mean and bitter. Amen? But we have to continue in the word. And in our text, right? Now, I'm not going to preach this whole thing, but they brought forth an evil report. God has sent them out into the wilderness. Into Canaan land. And their job was to spy out the land. Just to see, you know, what was in it. Just to bring back a report. Listen, their job was not to bring back a report of whether or not we will go. No, their job was to bring back a report of strategy or entry or whatever and seek the Lord for direction. Guess what, y'all? God had already given them the land. The land was theirs to possess. And he has spoken his word. He gave them, not only had he given them the land, but he gave them the commandment over and over and over again. Go in and possess the land. Amen. And they were right there on the heels of the land to look over into the land. But they missed Canaan. The land flowing with milk and honey. You know why? Because of the old mold. The old mindset of Egypt. Amen. And they missed it. Right? And you see here in our text that when they came, and I believe Caleb knew where this thing was going. So even before they brought forth the evil report, right? It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a man, they even named it after cluster. They brought back so many grapes and so much fruit that one man had to stand on one side of the pole. Another man had to stand on the other side of the pole. And they brought back just a big old cluster of fruit from the land that God had given them. Amen. Verse 27 says, surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit thereof. Amen. And then in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people because he saw where it was going. And he tried to get out in front of that evil report and said, listen, let's stop talking about it. Let's just go over at once. And let's possess the land. So he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They began to be led by what they saw. Amen. And not by the word of God. And not by the faith of God. They had a faith failure because of what they saw in the wilderness. And the Bible says it. And people often debate, was this true about the land? Well, we see here right now, the Bible says, and they brought up an evil report of the land that they and that has searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Therefore, all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And that was a lie. We just brought back the fruit, and they were bragging about the fruit. But now they're saying it eateth up his inhabitants. Amen? Amen? And you ever meet a person that no matter what you say is good, they'll find something evil or wrong with it? Amen? It's like a yeah, but mentality. Yeah, but mentality. You can say, it's a blue sky. It's a beautiful day out. And they'll find, yeah, but the weather said it's supposed to rain tomorrow. You'll say, man, it was a blessing. Didn't you see Brother Fred come down? Church was a blessing. And give us life to the Lord. We were sitting in church. The preacher preached over 45 minutes. And I hope he start taking care of them kids. Praise the Lord, he got saved. It's like a yeah, but mentality. No matter what's good in front of them, no matter how good the land looked, that spirit of bitterness, the spirit of negativity. Y'all meet people like that. Do you hang with people? No matter what, ain't nothing good. Lip poked out. Look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. Guess what? That's not of God. That's a sin to have a complaining and a murmuring spirit. And guess what, y'all? It's a spirit of oppression. It's a spirit of oppression that although physically they were free, but guess what? Their minds were still bound under the captivity of Cain of Egypt. Amen? They were still bound. Amen? And listen, the first point that I have is I pray not to be up long. The word must break the old mold. Amen? The word of God must break that old mold. Listen, because y'all need to know something. It's more than just an old mindset. It's more than just, well, that's the way we were raised. But that old mold is a strong man that lived in the house with you longer than you've been alive. Amen. Or just as long as you've been alive. Amen. Yeah, there was a movie one time about the people are under the stairs. Amen. And these people bought this house, and they were living in a house. And guess what? This house has some basements. It has some back doors. It has some walls. And people were literally living in the wall. And that's how we were shaped. That in that house now, I'm talking about a house. I'm not talking about a physical house. But I'm talking about this house. That old man stayed with you so long. That old nature stayed with you so long that it sets the atmosphere in that house. Amen? And it's the old man that still sees the past experience, the past oppression, the past labor of the taskmasters that you were shaped and burdened by, and you live through that old man by those old experiences. Yeah. Amen? And he hangs on your back. And this is what he does. He hangs on your back. And he whispers and he talks to you. And listen, and this is the battle of the old man and the new man. Amen? And he whispers and he directs and he leads and guides and you don't even know it.
That's
Ephesians, amen, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. Verse 17, if you can't turn it, just write it down. Verse 17 says this, Ephesians chapter 4. For this I say, therefore, that testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles, that walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding being darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, that means callous, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and all with greediness. And then verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, that's the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's why the Bible says over and over again, talks about being washed in the word. We have to be regenerated through the word. The Bible says, receive with meekness the what? Engrafted word of God. That's able to what? Save your souls. It's the word, y'all. Listen, and we don't get up and wake up begrudgingly to get in the word. But it ought to be a love relationship. Amen. Man, y'all, listen. You ought to be able to look at your Bible. Amen. And get goosebumps. Amen. 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 Anybody ever been there? You just look at, man, your Bible, man. Your Bible, man. Your Bible. Right. Reverend Williams talking about somebody had a Bible he picked up. Man, this Bible was written on. Those pages were worn out. Amen. That even certain passages, when you're going through a test,
that's right,
when you're going through a trial,
that's right,
you can go to that passage. Your Bible, boop, already opens up to those pages because it's warm.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says your word will be a lamp unto your feet, and it's a light unto your path. And we talk about be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. And how do you renew your mind? By taking heed to the word of God. Guess what, y'all? That old way of thinking has to go. Somebody say it's got to go. That root of bitterness got to go. That spirit of oppression got to go. And the biggest misconception is, now that I put on a jacket, put on a tie, got a haircut, got my shiny shoes, driving a Cadillac, parked outside, I made it in the church, and I'm okay. I'm okay. Ain't in my children's lives, but I'm okay. They better make it the best way they know how. Amen. That's right, I got mine, they better get there. And guess what? All you have on is a suit and a cloak of religion. And guess what, y'all? There's no manifestation of the love of Christ. I want to listen. I don't want to be that person. Y'all want to be that person? You sitting and been in the church all your life, and there's no witness. There's no manifestation of the love of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of John 14, he says, if I think 25 or 26, if you love me, keep my commandments, and me and the Father will make our abode. I'm skipping way ahead. Somebody say, it's all right. Because it's the love of Christ that's been placed upon us. Listen. Listen, in Egypt, they had an ironclad relationship. Do as I say. And now here comes grace. Here comes freedom. And guess what? They don't know how to be free. It takes the word of God. So the first point, the word must break that old the mold. Or break the old mindset. Amen? The Bible says, do thy diligence to keep thy heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. Guess what, y'all? Our, listen, our hearts in our minds must be filtered by the word of God. You can have 13,000 gallons of water in a pool. You take one chlorine tablet, which is about this big, put it in the filter, and guess what? The whole water or the whole pool is flavored now with this chlorine. And the Bible says a little bit of leaven messes up a whole lump. Amen. And we got to know, listen, some people live their lives through the filter of a bad experience or something that happened back in the day. And guess what? It's become entrenched in them that now they live their life. That old man that's been hanging on the back, he filters everything coming through that spirit of rejection. And this person could be beautiful, right? And but because they've been rejected, they filter everything in through the spirit of rejection. Oh, I'm preaching. Amen. Y'all say amen. Amen. Right? And it could be filtered through that spirit of rejection. Right? And I'm telling you, and everything you'll see it through that experience. And guess what? You'll say, nobody really loves me. These are the tapes playing in your mind. I'm good for nothing. I'm ugly. And they might actually be beautiful. And guess what? If you know Jesus Christ, you are beautiful. And I rebuke the lie of the devil that tells our young girls they need a weave. And they need to look like this. And they need to get plastic surgery and a rib removed. And all these images of Baal God worship on the internet. Guess what? The biggest form of idolatry there is are these cell phones. And it pumps up the minds of our young people to think I need to have tattoos and all these other things to be accepted in a society. That's a lie. And the Satan is the father of lies. He's lied to our children. Amen. 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 David said, I was born in sin and what? Shaped in iniquity. We've got to break the mold. We've got to break the curse of the culture. Guess what? And with Cosmopolitan and all, that's old, right? They're not even reading that no more, right? Ebony Jet magazine. Amen. Now listen, right? All these things that say what beauty is, Jesus loves you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous all thy works. And my soul knows right well. But what happens is the filter of rejection or the filter of that bad experience or the filter of my mother had favoritism or whatever happened has messed that child up. Then here comes somebody that truly loves that person. That truly thinks this person is beautiful. But guess what? They won't receive it. And that's what happened in with the children of Israel. They saw the miracles. They saw the Red Sea. They saw water come out of a rock. They saw the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They saw it. But still, seeing is not enough. You've got to be wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in the word of God. You've got to know. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And in his law does he what? Meditate. How? Day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. You've got to know. You've got to meditate on this word. You've got to be in love with this word. The word of God can't be a drudgery. It can't be a labor, but you got 66 books that tells you how much you love. You're loved. You're loved.
You love! You love! You love! You love! You love! You love! Turn to somebody and say, you love! You love! Y'all gotta forgive me, amen? My voice gets all crazy. I just love Jesus. Man, those things that have been shaped in and implanted into our children got to be shaped out. And them things that have been shaped and planted into our old people, they still got to be shaped out. And guess what? As the church, we can't look down our nose. We have to be arms wide open, accepting them. And guess what? People want to blame the church. Guess what? At the end of the day, you're going to stand before God in judgment. And guess what? The preacher ain't going to be there. Them old me mothers. Yeah, I can say that, right? I'm not talking about our mothers. Amen. But them old me mothers that you said looked at you wrong and, well, you know, she, you know. They're not going to be there. And the devil has used church hurt over years and years and years. And people outside of the church. Amen. And you ask them, well, it's been 10 years. I couldn't take it. I left that church. And guess what? They're still not in the church. It's time out to stop blaming the church. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you find the perfect church, you let me know so I can join with you. And ain't no perfect church. So the church we get to when we get in heaven, we'll be in the middle of Jesus Christ. The Bible says every day will be Sunday. And the Sabbath will have no end. There'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more worries, no more goodbye. And the Bible says he's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. Amen. We've got to know it's beyond the church. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. There was a man stranded on a desert island. And as he was stranded on this desert island, he was stranded on that island for 30 years. Cruise ship was going past. And he waved his hands. He blew up smoke. And they finally, he got rescued. Right? Off this desert island. And the captain came over. Right? And said, man, how did you make it for 30 years? He had three huts built. And he said, this first hut, this is my house. Right? He said, interesting. It's a nice house. Right? It's a hut, but you survive. Then he said, what's this hut number two? Right? He said, this is my church. This is where I worship God. This is where I go. And just, it's the Lord that kept me. He said, well then, what is hut number three? He said, that's the church I used to go to. But I didn't like it in there, and I just left that church. Amen. We can't blame it on the church. Amen. So guess what, y'all? The first point is, the word's got to break that old mindset. The second point is, guess what? It's the word. We've got to know that God's love has been sent upon us. Amen. We've got to know that. And guess what? The second point is, it's the love that set Caleb and Joshua apart. It's the love of God that set them apart. Amen? Numbers 14:37. Says, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, they died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, the Bible says they still live. And I read it in our text. In Numbers 14:38, but Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephthah, which were with the men that searched out the land, they still live. Guess what, y'all? Everybody else died in the wilderness. They murmured and they complained to God. Amen. And listen, in chapter 14, the children of Israel, they murmured, verse 2, against Moses and against Aaron and against the whole congregation. Would that God, that the land of Egypt, or would God had that died in this wilderness? And wherefore had the Lord brought us up into this land to die by the sword and our wives be plundered? And then they said, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through and search it, is exceedingly good land. So Caleb and Joshua, they made one last ditch effort to say, Lord, let's go. Canaan is right here. God's been with us. But guess what? They had a faith failure in the wilderness. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it wasn't that the gospel was not preached, but it was not mixed with faith to those who heard it. Amen. You've got to trust. Listen, when you got strongholds and you've been molded by sin and you're not broken to the word, you won't trust God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, for he will direct your path. It's the love of God that brings trust. Guess what? If I ask my wife right now, honey, I need you to go home and get my glasses case. Guess what, y'all? I'm going to trust her. You know why? Because to do it, to go home and get my glasses case. I'm going to trust her to do it. You know why I'm going to trust her to do it? Because I'm in love with my wife. Amen. And it's the love of Christ that supersedes the love that we have in our home. Amen. Listen, and the reason why they did not take God at his word. We've got to take God at his word. And it's spending time in this word. It's meditating in the word. That our faith will grow. It's the word of God. Listen, the Bible talks about Lazarus. When Lazarus has died, he had been in a grave 4 days already. And when Christ got to the grave, they opened up the tomb. And the Bible says, Jesus spoke and says, Lazarus, come forth. Yeah. Yo, listen, what was it that went beyond the grave? It was the word of God. And guess what? He came forth bound. How? Hand and foot. And he said, loose him and let him go. It's the word of God that resurrected the dead man. It's the word of God that was spoken to the dead bones in Ezekiel's day. Can these dead bones live? He said, God, only you know. Next thing you know, the wind came. And he spoke over those dead bones. He spoke being obedient to what God told him to speak. And the spirit went forth. And next thing you know, there was a head down by the foot. And the body came all back together. And the army raised up. No man know where the word listens. No man know where it goes. But the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing The word of God. It's the word that brings a dead man back to life. It was a word that the centurion said, send your word. And the daughter was healed. Even in the Sunday school lesson, it was a word. He said, go. And the Bible says, as he was going. Guess what? The child was here. It's the word. We're saved by the power of the word. We're delivered by the power of the word. Generational curses are broken by the power of the word. Territorial spirits come down by the word of God. It's the word. 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 The Bible says, do thy diligence to keep thy heart. Because out of it comes the issues of life. Guess what? And when the word works on you, the lies that Satan has implanted on you, they got to be washed out by the washing and the regenerating power of the word of God. Amen. It's got to be the word. Listen, in Deuteronomy 7:7 says this. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more than number. You were fewer of all people. But because the Lord loved you, turn your neighbor and say, look him in the eye. Say, the Lord loves you. And not only that, but he chose you. And because he will keep his oath and he swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, he's faithful, and he keepeth the covenant of mercy with him that love him. Listen, y'all, God created us for one purpose. Y'all know what that purpose is? To be conformed into the image of his son. And most of all, to have fellowship. Fellowship with the Father. Thank God for Reverend Williams talks about God called off the road. But he made a distinction about us. And the Bible says when we were created, guess what? He says, let us make man in our image. There was no animal that was made like man. We have distinction. We have belonging. We have fellowship. He set his love on you. The problem is when they got out of Egypt, their relationship was one of fear and one of bondage and one of can't get right. Amen. And that's why it was a spirit of just greediness. A spirit of get all you can. A spirit of oppression where you have a $75,000 car but you live in a shack. That old jigger joint spirit. Well, all you look is for the short term, just to be satisfied with a piece of a dollar for now and not worry about your future. And they died in the wilderness. They said, God, you left us out here. We had leeks and onions in Egypt. And the Bible says God sent them quail, but he sent leanness to their souls. Amen. We've got to be delivered, y'all, from that old mindset. They were molded by hard labor, bondage, affliction of their taskmasters. That's why when they murmured and they would complain, they were never satisfied. And now, faced with adversity, all you know how to do is revert and go back to what you know. And that's being led by this flesh. Amen. I'm just about there. Man, God broke my heart last night to just how much he loved us. And it's the love of Christ that's able to set us free. All they knew was hardness and bitterness. They did not know love. And here he told them in Deuteronomy, I've set my love upon you. I want fellowship with you. I want intimacy with you. I want relationship with you. Amen. And it's the word of God that breaks us to that love. It's the word of God that compels us to that love. And guess what, y'all? We'll get up in the morning, not out of grudgery, not out of, oh, I got to get up and get in this word. And we will read the word of God out of quantity and not quality. You got to set the atmosphere when you get in the word. And it's a love relationship. Amen. That ought to set that heart ablaze and put it on a fire. Y'all, we've got to be motivated by love. The love of Christ constrains me. And we thus judge that if Christ would die for one, guess what, y'all? We're all dead. It's his love. That, man, I will get in this word. Not serve out of bondage. Oh, I got to do it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. Sometimes, man, you got to get up and clean the church or do this or do that. But it's the love, y'all. It's not a works relationship. Guess what, y'all? It's not a law relationship. God didn't want that. He didn't want to do as I say relationship. But it's a love relationship. It's a grace relationship. It's the love that propels me. It's the love that even with all my bright skin, light skin, dark skin, I'm loved. Big lips, snappy hair, strong hair, long hair, curly hair, I'm loved. And guess what? You're now being directed and driven by a new filter. You're no longer being led by past experiences, but you're being led by his love. You're being led by his word. Amen. It was a quarterback who was going into the Hall of Fame. And his dad was just a hard man, hard-nosed man. And y'all listen real good. I'm telling you, it's not enough for me as a father just to say, well, I provided for the home. That's the love. Y'all don't see that love? The lights are on. That's love. The water's on. You got a roof over your head. That's love. I'm the provider for the home. That's not enough. I told Caleb and Joseph this morning, they went there in the playoffs. Amen. I told them this morning, I said, me and your mother, we love y'all. We've got to tell our children we love them. And that's what? I have parents and we can see what they do for us is their love. Yeah, they love us enough, amen, to do and provide. But even more than that, all of us, We have to tell our families, our sisters, our siblings, our parents, we've got to let them know that you love them. We've got to let them know that we love them. This quarterback overheard. They were in the playoff game, and this quarterback at the time, professional quarterback, played for the Green Bay Packers. He said his father never told him that. But he overheard his father telling the other coaches, Brett's going to do it. He's going to do it. You know why? Because it's in him. It's in him. It's in him. And I told my sons the day, but we got up after prayer. I said, it's in you to be great. It's in you to be great. It's in you to succeed. Not because of pride of you, but because of the love of Christ Jesus. The three Hebrew boys and Daniel stood in the midst of a fiery furnace, in the midst of Babylon, because somebody loved them. We've got to love them. We've got to love our family. We've got to love our grandchildren. Stop speaking negatively over your children. But demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. Man, Pastor John, man, listen. He was talking. The preacher a couple days, weeks ago, that came to the breakfast was saying. He said, man, my father grew up on a farm and drove a truck. And he said, if it don't fit, get a bigger hammer. That's the kind of man he was. Amen. This preacher went back and said, after he found Christ and got saved, he went back when he was older and tried to hug his father. Y'all know what his father did? He just stood there like a stiff board. Amen. Guess what? God's got to break our hearts. We've got to know what he's done for us. And there's some people, I'm going to say it, God show me, there's some people that are bound. They're bound because they've not been broken to this love of Jesus Christ. And they're still led by what they went through. Still led by past experience. Still being filtered out by the old man that's on their back. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're what? Mighty to the what? Pulling down strongholds. Casting down what? Imaginations. Every thought. Every experience. Every feeling that ain't right. It's got to go by the love of Jesus Christ. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. Deeply stained and wounded within. Seeking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my cry from the water. Hallelujah. He lifted me. Now I can sing when nothing else would help me out. Guess what? His love. His love. His love. His love. His love lifted me out of the muck and the miry clay. His love lifted me and broke the bands of the strong man. His love broke the bands that kept me held. His love validated me, wrapped me, rocked me. What manner of love is this that I should be called your son, your daughter of the Most High God? Do it not yet appear what we're going to be, but I know, I know, I know. I know, I know, when he cracks the sky, we're going to see him, we're going to look like him, he's going to hug us, he's going to welcome us, we're going to sit at the welcome table, every day will be Sunday, and the Sabbath will have no end, you know, for God, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He's sending out his world, son, into the world. To what? Condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved. Amen. I'm a real man, amen. But guess what? Real men love Jesus. I love him. I love him. And y'all know what? We've been in the church long enough. It's time to stop sitting in here thinking, oh, well, my family, listen, they got to make it the best way they can. No, we need to go back and love them. Amen? We've got unsaved family members that need to know this love. I'm speaking it, amen, over my children. God had to break my heart last night. He had to break it. The same way he's got to break them strongholds. That old mentality. That old man. Joshua and Caleb, they lived, y'all. You know why? Because the wrath, that bondage, that strong man was not over their heads. The wrath was gone. That bondage mentality of the taskmaster was gone. They had a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to invite you, if you don't know this love and you want to accept Christ into your heart, I'm telling you, if I could explode, I would explode right now. If I wasn't tired, I'd do backflips. Matter of fact, I ain't too tired to do that. I would do backflips down this aisle. Listen, y'all, he commended a love that while we were sinners, that's why we can say tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Because even in adversity, instead of retreating back from what God wants you to do, you will propel. Because the love of Christ is shed abroad in your hearts. Paul said, I am persuaded. How many persuaded by this love? That nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. Not tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Nay, in all things. Listen, we are more than conquerors. Guess what? Through him that loved us. You are great because you're loved. Amen. And if there's somebody here and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you can come right now and accept him into your heart. There is a hell. But guess what? We don't scare you into heaven. But we let you know Christ loved you enough to die for you. So as we extend the offer of invitation, you can come right now and give your life to Jesus Christ. Is there somebody that would like to rededicate their life? You can also come. If you're in a backsliding condition, you can also come. And we'll pray for you.